A few Dharma reflections I want to share tonight have to do with how it is that how important it is that during these times we practice mindfulness with metta together. How it is that sometimes as you know, these two foundational practices, sometimes we dedicate, most of the time to develop the mindfulness practice, mindfulness of breath or mindfulness of body or mindfulness of emotions or mindfulness of thinking, mindfulness of feeling tones. And there may be a tendency of forgetting, sometimes forgetting, especially when we are entangled. We are entangled in maybe a situation or entangled in defending a view or an opinion. And so I want to bring this aspect of how it is that metta and mindfulness support each other, because we may forget. We may forget, and the practice of mindfulness may become a little dry. We can be present. We can be aware. But then there is this aspect, this intention of metta, of friendliness, that goes beyond, goes beyond the being present without a sense of how it is that we want to live our lives. So let me say a little bit more about this. As you may know, at some point, when we start practicing metta, the classical way of practicing it in our tradition is through the phrases. We can use the different phrases for the different categories of beings that we have. And then we have also the way in which the Buddha taught, which is this way of radiating metta, and radiating metta everywhere. But there is a point in which metta, as we cultivate it, as we develop it, and becomes natural within us, it also becomes non-referential. It's this impartiality for all beings, this intention that it doesn't have a preference of where we direct it to. And so, our sense of self softens as we go deeper into the practice of metta. And so, it is important to remember, we can practice metta. And we can practice mindfulness, but they can come sometimes hand by hand together. Metta helps us to stay. In very difficult situations, it helps us to stay. And mindfulness, let us know moment to moment what is happening. Moment to moment what is happening. And in those moments of knowing, there's also a sense of alignment. A sense of alignment that maybe is beneficial to check once in a while how it is that we are showing up. A sense of alignment with a deep sense of being. A deep sense of knowing how it is that we want to show up. And so it's a way to touch on ethics. It's a way of touching on how it is that we act in body, speech, and mind in a way that we do feel that sense of alignment. We do know deep, deep in the gut this is how it is to act out of wisdom and out of kindness. And, you know, in my practice, I have tried to develop, you know, these different faculties independently. Yeah. And sometimes we dedicate, you know, we go even to retreats to cultivate different qualities. We go to a metta retreat. We go to a mindfulness retreat. We go to an awareness and wisdom retreat and etc. In our daily lives, there may be moments in which not everything is not that linear. And different things come together. Different qualities of the heart come together. Different faculties come together. And so, wisdom, this wisdom that we develop, that as we go deeper, training the mind to see what is wholesome, training the mind to have a discernment of what is skillful and what is not skillful, kusula, akusula. How it is that kindness supports mindfulness. How it is that then that kindness supports this alignment, this ethical alignment. And I'm not taking any kind of view on how to define ethics. That's another talk, another retreat, that's a whole different ball game. So the definition that I give in is a very simple. The definition for ethics tonight is alignment. This alignment in your actions of body, speech, and mind and heart. Just to keep it very simple. And so how it is that that we see or we sense mindfulness, our practice alive supported by Meta. How it is that we can feel, sense that both are present. Well, there may be moments in which we may see that, you know, we are in automatic mode, and out of the blue, we just, something happens that in a very subtle way, we may cause harm. The subtlety of the hindrances, or the subtlety of, you know, great aversion and delusion. It's not like it happens like in a big way all the time, but there's a subtlety also of even in moments that are very, that we are very settled, in moments where we are really at peace. And in those moments, you may have noticed this before, but you may have noticed that, you know, there's like a little ripple. You just like sense this teeny tiny contraction. And I was like, what is that? Where that came from? And so, and sometimes we may be surprised that kindness, metta, or any of its flavors may show up. May show up. I give you an example. I was on an extended retreat in the past months. And I was struggling. I was struggling for a few days. I was holding a view just like this. And I was not going to let it go. Just not, it was, I was completely entangled, and I was trying everything, just like out of a recipe book, just trying different ways. Okay, mindfulness. Okay, metta. Okay, compassion. And, you know, sometimes will be better, other times will be harder. And sometimes the face will soften and open, and I will see, you know, what was going on. But there was a big doing happening, and I could feel it in the body. I could feel it in the mind. The head. Oh my goodness. It was so tight in the forehead. So tight. And at some point I surrender. I was exhausted. I surrender. And just trust in the practice, trust in the resting the attention in the breath, resting the attention in the body, just receiving experience. And in one moment, there was a movement. There was a movement within the mind of this deep sense of compassion. Deep sense of compassion. A nonverbal movement in the heart, in the mind. And the entanglement dissolved. It just dissolved. So I'm giving this example because sometimes we want to see like a very concrete results of our practice. But we just don't know. We just don't know when conditions, all conditions are set for different understandings, deep understandings in the mind to happen. And so the cultivation of metta and mindfulness, as ordinary as it may seem, to be present moment to moment to with whatever shows up, is so important, that continuity of practice. Because at some point, we may face some challenging situations. And so how it is that we want to show up with a clear mind and a clear heart so that we can respond appropriately with an appropriate response. And we just don't know. We just don't know how, when, how is going to happen. And so I give you some example for the benefit of just bringing what is, you know, here in the present moment. I'm here in San Juan because my mother is dying. And and at some moment, at some point, I was showing up, being present, Bruni, remember being present, just doing everything I'm telling you right now. And at some point I realized, you know what? This is different. This sense of seeing this being and this identity of daughter and mother is hard to shake off. It's hard to shake off. It's not fixed, but it's more present than what I was expecting. It is. And the mind wants to go back when my dad passed, where it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And the interconnectedness, the sense of seeing him as a human being and also as a parent, was an amazing experience. Just seeing the body decaying was an amazing experience. We took care of, we're take, we've been taking care of our parents at home. But this time is different. And so I try metta alone. Nope. I try mindfulness. Just okay. Let's practice, Bruni. This is the real life here. Nope. I just felt very, very tight. Very, very tight. Until at some point, I just surrendered. Just surrendered. And there it was, the open heart, present with whatever was happening, the grief, the different identities coming and going, the love. And then, the interconnectedness, seeing this being not only as a mother, but also as a human being. As a human being that has lived her life. And so there are some conditions, you know, there are some causes and conditions that come into place. And we just don't know. We just don't know how it is that the practice will unfold. But if we trust the practice, and we, you know, we trust the teachings, it will be okay. It will be okay. And for that, you know, this alignment of this sense of alignment of how it is that we practice mindfulness, how it is that we bring kindness and metta, how it is that we show up for whatever life brings us in different moments. I was walking to go to the grocery store, and there was a woman picking up leaves, and I was coming back from the store with two coffees. They were two small coffees, and both were for me. Until this woman said hi and said, "Oh, I would love a cup of coffee. That's what I need." And I knew she was not saying that to ask me for a cup of coffee. She was just saying, "Oh gosh, I do need a cup of coffee." I say, "Well, wow, you're in the right time at the right time at the right place. Here it is, your cup of coffee." And she was so surprised. She was like, "What?" Say, so, "Yeah, here. Do you want sugar?" Do you want? So I gave, you know, we took a pause. Like, we have our cups of coffee. And she was so happy, but she was so, and so surprised, you know. And it was such a delightful moment in the midst of all. In the midst of all. And cars coming and going, and, you know, different things passing through my mind. And okay, now I go to the hospital, and yeah, keep taking step by step, aware of the body, aware of walking, what you're aware of right now. And so mindfulness and kindness, mindfulness and kindness. This intention of always remember to bring kindness. And so after that, you know, I was happy that I was having my cup of coffee with this person. And then just having a sense of self-care, you know, of self-care. And so, let me see where I'm at right now. Hold on. 10 minus 3, 7. Okay, so 7. Oh, okay. Just counting the hours, you know, the time zone. So, So with mindfulness and kindness together and surrendering, at some point we surrender to the present moment, do we? We may be in shock sometimes. We may be surprised by things that happen that we have not planned, or we are delighted that, you know, things are happening like we want. But at some point, we may start noticing, you know, moments of wisdom. Moments of clear discernment of knowing this is what you're going to be doing now. This is what is skillful. This is what is wholesome. And it is hard. It is hard to choose a wholesome attitude for things that we don't like. It's hard. And sometimes it's hard. Maybe some challenging situations, or I don't know. But with this practice, it doesn't become harder. It becomes clear. It becomes natural at some point to drop the duality, the good or bad, all the different constructs. And things are as they are. It's almost like when you're eating something salty, salty is salty. Sweet is sweet. So there may be a situation happening, and we may feel it in, you know, how it is that our body responds. What is the attitude in the mind? What is the feeling tone? Pleasant, pleasant, non-pleasant, unpleasant. Neither one, neither one. And what is the appropriate response? What is the appropriate response? And, you know, I think that we are so fortunate that we have this practice that, you know, one of the, if it is not the one of the most fundamental aspects of our practice, to remembering non-harming. And a way to remember is to just going back to the basics of mindfulness and kindness, developing an attitude and intention of metta. And you may be surprised. I'm sure you probably may have had moments in which you may have been surprised that there's compassion towards all beings without exception, that there's balance of mind to say this is how it is. Things have come to be this way. May I respond with wisdom and kindness? Or just having a moment of joy, like that moment of sharing a coffee unexpectedly. I have to say, I had a subtle moment of greed. The coffee, the coffee. Oh, really, just let it go. There's one coffee. Just give her the coffee. It was just delightful. And it was very subtle, that hindrance there, wanting. It's like, oh, okay, I notice it. I can let it go. So, I just hope that you can also see these moments in your daily lives, how it is that all comes together. All experiences, they just all come together. And how it is that we develop our practice, how it is that we connect with ourselves, that we feel deeply connected to ourselves. Deeply connected. And to a point that is natural within you to access this innate capacity of offering benevolence and goodwill and just knowing this moment, this simple moment, what am I aware of? What is it? And so I'll stop there. Thank you for your kind attention. And let's, I think that, okay, I'm sorry. I just thought I was going to act out of a habit. I just caught myself. I was like, oh, let me just go. Okay, questions and responses, but there's no questions and responses. So,
You can ask for people if they have any questions and responses now, because we do have some time, and that would be perfectly fine to do. We often do that. So thank you.
oh, okay. I just, yeah. So, yeah. So, any comments, protests, celebrations? Questions, please feel welcome. Yes, Veta, please.
So
Hi.
I really want to thank you for the reminder of the heart. I have a very, very, very unpleasant client to see tomorrow, and I was just so agitated because I was just agitated. And you have just reminded me the not only for him, but very honestly for me, it feels so much better going in with mindfulness and metta and caring than with anger and annoyance. So your timing was perfect. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Sherry and Bowman.
Yes, thank you, Bruni. Well, how delightful. What you're just a delight. Thank you so much. I've been wrestling with that term ethics this week. It just it 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 what it brought me to is the ethics of the Eightfold Path. You put it very succinctly in doing no harm. That's part of ethics, and thinking about the like Bill said in the Donna talk about the future generations and having ethics in that as well. Thank you so much for this wonderful talk. It just brought me back to the moment, it's a delight to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share the Dhamma. Yes, Mary.
Again, thank you. And I think for me, one of the things that you brought across, and one of my teachers, she talks about warm wisdom. So there's like a feeling of open-heartedness with your wisdom and the mindfulness. But the thing that you brought across that I really think is important is to remind ourselves how good it feels. And reflect on that. If we did something that was kind and generous, how good that feels. We're so great at picking things apart, but remind us that felt really nice. So the greed came up and you let it go. Lovely. It's like, it is. There is a when my teachers talks about claiming, it's like I think of the Buddha touching the ground and surrendering. But then remembering when you do these things, remembering the feeling that you had within yourself, and that is a great encouragement to continue doing it. So thank you for that reminder. Well done. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mary. It's so important. Indeed, it is so important because this moment will condition the next moment. And if we don't remember, we it's almost like we're letting precious moments pass. And so, yeah. So thank you, Mary. Liz, please. Hi.
Hello, good to meet you.
Nice
Well,
meeting you too.
this was the perfect talk I needed. I've been wrestling for a month with an issue. I'm in another group where someone was being exceptionally annoying. And I told her to stop talking. I just couldn't stand it. And she was very, very upset and humiliated. I just said to myself, well, she deserved it. She deserved that. She was so annoying. And then I realized how much I hurt her. And I haven't known what to do. I've been working with this for a month. So tonight you help me. I'm going to have to apologize. And it came to me. I've been a month it's taken for me to apologize for hurting, no matter what she did. I didn't have to humiliate her. And that's surrendering. And I'm very grateful. I did
Thank you,
harm.
Liz.
I did harm, even if there was a cause.
Where, oh, here you are. Oh, so yes, you were noticing, you notice the harm.
Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes, it happens like that. It takes time. It takes time, and we find different ways in which, there's different ways to respond to situations, and so thank you, Liz. Rebecca, hi.
Hi, Bruni. I also find you to be delightful, and I definitely have a question. Okay, I've been doing this practice a long time. 40 years, 40 years, and still, I get annoyed with people. I don't know. Maybe another 40 years, I'll be okay. I don't know. But I think I want to tap into your bright heart and wisdom and ask you if you could share a bit more about what you do when you notice reactivity and judgment come up within you, because I still notice it, and how you work within yourself and with the person. And also, important question is how you know when you should or how you should say to someone that what they did was hurtful. That's an important one for me. I'm still trying to learn that. So, boy, does it take a long time, Bruni. Okay.
Yes. So maybe there were like three or four questions there. So let me see how can I respond, Rebecca.
Sure.
So I'm glad you keep noticing. There are moments in the practice now, and with what I shared this morning, what I shared tonight, that sometimes there's a view or a belief that we will not respond, that there will be zero reactivity, zero, zero. And there may be moments where, conditions are set, we're settled and we're centered, and it may be that reactivity may not happen, but there's still reactivity, of course. There's still, how do I work with it? Same instructions that you have followed for 40 years. The same practice, 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 practice. What has changed is how I relate to the reactivity. There may be more reactivity sometimes, other, but now I can see, okay, these were the conditions present. Yeah, I was tired, I was hungry, I was not, in top shape, and there's reactivity. And so there is a sense of compassion that starts arising with the practice, Rebecca. And so don't forget that. Don't forget that compassion, because it will support us to see how it is, okay, how it is that we want to respond next time. So another way along those lines is reviewing. I review, like one of the teachings that the Buddha gave to his son. Okay, how was the day today? Okay, tomorrow, what I'm going to do? Okay, I'm going to try to do this better. And, it's not every day. It doesn't happen that way. But there's that intention of keep practicing without the expectation. So without the expectation that, that I'm not going to have reactivity or not. So maybe dropping that expectation, if there's one there. And for me, it's like, okay, so what is next? How I want to respond to feel in alignment. I hope that helps. That's maybe a longer conversation, but maybe that.
So you're referring also to, how do I speak when I want to tell someone that they've hurt me? In other words, how do I say it? Is that?
So, on those moments, what I do is I give time. Like Liz was sharing, it takes time. And I like to see a continuity of a stability of mind, of being at peace with how it is that I want to respond, not, reviewing everything, but to see that there's some resolution within me, some reconciliation within me too. And you would know what is skillful. You would know what is skillful. What is skillful for you? What is skillful for others? And what is skillful for all?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think maybe this is the last person. Zoe?
Hi. I want to thank you so much for your talk. It was inspiring for me, because when I came to start the meditation tonight, I physically was not in a good place. I had several health challenges in the last few weeks, and today was just dreadful. I had a horrible sinus headache that lasted all day, and a few other things that came up. And so when I came to sit down, it was very hard to be present and focused on the meditation. So when you were talking about how you went to that retreat and it was hard the first few days, that really helped me, because there was a part of me that wanted to just give up, lay down on the couch and fall asleep if I could, to get away from the pain. And so trying to stay with it and just be present, even though I was continuously being distracted about this pain in the body and that pain in my head and why is it still hurting and all of that and the story around the physical symptoms. I don't know if there's anything that you could say about that.
I will say something brief because we need to end, but I just want to say, Zoe, two things. One is, just remember in moments in which is too much, maybe remember what else is here. What else is here? There may be a part in your body that may be having a different sensation. What else is here? And then make more space for it. Make more space for it. And treat yourself kindly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.